You're listening to The God Journey, a place where people thinking outside the box of organized religion can share thoughts and conversation along the journey. Here are your hosts and fellow travelers, Wayne Jacobson and Brad Cummings.
Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And we want to welcome you to this edition of The God Journey. It's our first one of 2006.
Brad, Happy New Year, Wayne.
Well, Happy New Year to you. How were the holidays? You have a good time?
Been a little wet.
Wet.
We went up to Shaver Lake and got rained out. Thought we were going to do a little skiing, but...
Didn't happen.
Never floated down. It all came down real wet and unfinished.
Well, it's been wet in the Los Angeles area, too. We've had quite a little bit of
rain. Oh, just a little.
Yeah. But so far, so good, I guess. Well, we want to welcome you all and thank you for some of the input we've had. We had a lot of emails and blog things. We've also, in the last few days, opened up a new section of our website.
Yeah, we got a bulletin board now.
We got a bulletin board, a whole forum area where a couple of things we want to happen there. Number one, to give people a chance to dialogue with the podcast in a way that's a little less cumbersome than the blogs. We don't have to comb all the way back through the blog to see comments on it. So we'd really love you to kind of move your comments toward the bulletin board. They're easier to find there. And easier to have a discussion within each different topic, which would, I think, be very helpful to folks. Also, we've got a section there to help people find each other. So if you're in different regions of the world or in the U.S. or Canada, maybe you can find some other listeners in your area. So check out the forums at thegodjourney.com, and it'll help us maybe keep this going. Oh, and the last thing we're going to do there is have people suggest some ideas for future shows, because God knows we don't have enough, hey, Brad?
Oh, we got enough ideas, but we'd love some input.
We sure do. We've got a whole list of things we will not get to today, but we thought it'd be good to just reach kind of back in the mailbag. We've had a number of emails and blog comments lately. We certainly won't get to them all, but if we even back up to we won't read any of these, but we have really appreciated some of the comments y'all have made about our wives being on the show. Both Sarah and Kelly, I think, have been blessed to know that that really resonated with some of you, and you enjoyed hearing a bit of their story and their journey.
I bet they're going to be back.
I have no doubt they'll be back. I'm afraid they'll take over the office one day, and that'll be the end of us.
That's okay.
Oh, okay. Well, if you don't mind that. But we appreciate you all taking the time to encourage them and let them know that that was meaningful for you. So thank you.
I had a nice little email from a lady by the name of Janet. She says, I'm greatly enjoying your podcast. It's hard to put into words all the thoughts and feelings I have regarding what God has been doing in my life. And I regularly wish that I had somebody to really share these things with. So your podcast is a great blessing because so many of your comments and the comments of your other listeners resonate with me and help me to know that I'm not completely alone in what God is doing in my life. And I mean, God's just taken her, you know, to another part of the world, and she feels herself kind of alone and by herself. And just with the joy of technology, now things that God is doing inside her, she's finding a sense of just camaraderie with some of our other listeners of going like, okay, gosh, I'm not this freak all by myself.
And I hope that's the value of this thing. I think in both of us in getting it started was really, we have these kinds of conversations all the time. I have it with you. I have it with any number of other people, not only in this locality but around the world. But a lot of people, as they start discovering some of these things and looking outside the conventional way of doing things, often feel very isolated and very alone, and I think we've all asked the question, I must be nuts. I guess a few years ago, I decided if I am nuts, I'd have more fun being nuts than being sane. So
I had to affirm, you are nuts.
but
it's all good. It's all good.
I need that validation.
And I'm going to join in with you.
I like when people write me. I have an article up on the Livestream site called The Nut Test, and some people who sit down at Google and type in, am I nuts, somehow get to that. And they always write me and say, it's so good to find out I'm not nuts, to which my answer usually is,
you are,
unless I am, and then we're both in trouble. But I do appreciate the fact that people are finding some other voices that are saying things that God's put in our own heart. Isn't that the way that we learn to recognize what God's saying in our hearts? When we recognize that others are saying similar things, and I think the real value of encouraging one another daily, as the writers in the New Testament talked about, is the fact that we're connecting with people who resonate with the same Father we're learning to love and live in. And that, I know that stimulates me. Always these kinds of conversations stimulate me.
Yeah, the opening chapters of the Bible. I mean, the Lord says it's not good for man to be alone. And I think all of us, it's like loneliness may serve a purpose of driving us into a place of fruitful fellowship, but its purpose isn't for us to stay there.
Absolutely.
We're not supposed to be in an isolated, lonely place. God said, that's of all the things, that's not good.
Yeah, and the fact that he is a community And he's invited us into community. I mean, he's invited us into a relationship with him. So don't stay lonely there. I know some of you, we get some email, just this connection with God that you're hearing about here, you want. You're not sure you're there yet. There's a hunger in your heart. How do I, what are the next steps? And those are good questions to be asking, because you don't want to stay isolated from him, because, I mean, that's the best gift he's given us. And certainly we don't need to stay isolated from each other, because I think the kinds of brothers and sisters connecting in this journey is not about walking out alone. It really isn't.
Yeah, there was a guy, Kevin, on our blog that kind of mentioned his desire, as if, I don't know that was a New Year's resolution, but it was in response to the New Year's podcast. He really encouraged other folks to really engage in the whole kind of blogging, and we'll direct it to the bulletin board side of stuff, just because of the value of hearing other people's insights. Every one of us is a unique person, and not one of us is going to understand all of God. And to be able to have the kind of dialogue where there's a harmony of voices, and you begin to go like, wait a minute, wow, and you start pulling insights from each other, that's vital.
And it's powerful. When you sit with among people, whether it's physically in the same room or maybe on a bulletin board or a blog somewhere, with people that have totally different backgrounds from you and yet have come to very similar conclusions. I may have talked about this before. A year and a half ago when Sarah and I were in New Zealand, sitting on the shore with a former surgeon from Scotland out of Africa and a couple from Ireland, and Sarah and me. And we all had such different backgrounds, and at this point in our lives had ended up in very, very similar places. That discussion, I still look back to that. We're sitting along the seaside there outside of Auckland, New Zealand. Man, that conversation was just incredible. And not just even the things we talked about, to realize that we could even be there, that such diverse people would be sitting in the same place, sharing the same journey and loving the same God. It was just amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. We had an interesting response from a guy named Marty to our show, Accept No Substitutes. And you know, he gives a little bit of his story. He says, you know, at the time that we left that old system, we knew God was calling us to something different. He said we'd known that for years. But he talked about just the difficulty of actually stepping out. He said we depended too heavily on that porch light shining a safe beam around us. And then talks about, you know, kind of finally sort of getting pushed out. And then the challenge of the fact that, you know, longing for the sort of community that he dreamt of and knew that was possible, and how that to some degree was still elusive. And he said, you know, it's still been very lonely. And then apparently you said something. He said, the problem is not, he said, he quotes Wayne.
Whoa.
Here's a Wayne quote.
Wow.
He said, the problem is not that the system or whatever the thing we're depending on exists. The problem is that people don't know Jesus real enough so that the system or whatever isn't needed. And then this is why I want to read this. He then said, you know, my problem has been that I've still been looking for something rather than someone. And I think in this whole pursuit and in the whole challenge of finding that place, I do think that God wants to take us through sort of almost a period of a little bit of loneliness where we stop looking to find in others what we're ultimately supposed to find in him, and perhaps in him alone, and then we can share that openly and fully with others.
I think that's absolutely an essential first step. And if I am trying to get from you what only God can give, one, I'm going to always be disappointed, because on your best day...
Yeah, well, thanks a lot.
Well, on my best day, we're never going to be God to people. We're not. I do think what distorts a lot of relationships in the context of religion or spiritual things or Christianity is often I don't have this relationship with God. So I'm looking for you to listen for me. I'm looking for you to pray for me and fix what's wrong in here. I'm looking for you to. And it's really end up looking to each other. And it becomes idolatrous in the sense that I'm looking for people around me, or even, quote unquote, the institution or the corporate group, to be what only God can be. And that's not a statement of isolationism or independence, because I once we start finding that life in God, then our relationships with each other come into a really healthy place. Now, I'm not looking to you as God. I'm just looking at you as a brother in the journey, or another sister that I know, that we're sharing a journey to know Father better. And so then our orientation is in the right place. It's towards him. It's not trying to get from each other. So I think that's a very key thing. Until we're looking for a someone instead of a something, we are going to struggle.
Yeah, and I wonder if that isn't the reason behind a lot of the angst or the sense of being disgruntled that people do have in, quote, Christian community, is because they perhaps not identified that they are wrongly trying to get from others what ultimately is only going to be satisfied most fully by the Lord.
And didn't we help teach them that? I mean, we really did.
Yeah, I think the system reinforced that. It's a sort of a mutual dysfunction of I need to be needed, you need me, and therefore we're going to serve each other.
Oh, and we taught people even about small groups and, you know, coming to services and things. You know, this is the way to get your needs met. And so we made a very need-dependent kind of gathering that was really hopefully trying to be Jesus to everyone. And in that sense, it had become an anti-Jesus. It had become the opposite because it was putting the dependence someplace other than him. So I think this is really critical what he's saying in that note and some of what we talked about. We need to get our dependency right. If it's not in him, then our relationships are going to be dysfunctional and difficult. They're going to be filled with expectations and hurt. And we get past that to find out, no, let's put all that in him. Now we get to walk together with people. And without all that same distorted, I need you to be something you're not, but I'm going to embrace who you are and who God's making you to be.
Well, I think when you finally come to a place, and I don't know that it's like some final destination, but when you come to a place where it's like, you know what, I have encountered the living Lord Jesus Christ, and there is my life flow, and I know that, I think that frees you up to start enjoying all the people around you in a way that you otherwise can't, because I don't have false expectations that this person is going to be that for me. I'm really relying on the Lord to be who he is, and then I get the freedom to enjoy the rest of everybody the way we all are. I mean, I'm terribly flawed. If my wife Kelly is looking for me to be this awesome man of God, you know, she's going to be sadly frustrated and upset when she recognizes that, you know, those expectations are rightly placed on the Lord, then you really do, with great grace, get to enjoy all the other people around you.
And that's a fabulous freedom, because I think Christian fellowship oftentimes is so distorted by all the things that we should be and should do for each other. And all the expectations people have about, well, I've been to that, I've invited that person to my home 3 times and they've never invited me to theirs. And it's all that twisted competition that really is about self-based relationships. I'm looking at other people through the grid of what I want or what I need, and that distorts everything. That's distorted. The whole of creation is distorted by that self-centered, self-willed approach to life. Religion sometimes just kind of sugarcoats that and gives us a law so we can throw that expectation on other people, and then they're bad Christians if they don't do this, or they don't love me if they don't do that. Boy, the joy I've had in relationships in the last 10, 12 years has been, I don't have any more expectations in people. I just want to love folks that are around me and enjoy them for who they are. And I want people to enjoy me for who I am. And I'm not a fully cooked individual. There's still lots of flaws and lots of things God's doing here. But that's the joy of walking together. The joy of walking together is not somebody's got it all right, but the fact that we're all on the same journey to be more like Father today than we were yesterday. And how can we encourage each other in that process?
You know, we've talked at different times about the whole, you know, concept of hearing God's voice. And we've had a lot of questions that have sort of come up, like, well, how do you really know? And it's like,
does he even really speak? I know when sometimes when you say, God told me this, people, I see the roll of the eyes, and yeah, like, right, God.
How dare he say that? I just know that, you know, with the simple verse where Jesus says, look, my sheep know my voice, and they hear me, and they're not going to follow the voice of a stranger. I just want to give a fun little chipper segue. We always got to toss those in.
No, we don't.
It was hilarious. We were gone on vacation this last week, and we were away, and my dad was home with the animals and our cat Chipper, and Chipper got out of the house. And he's an indoor-outdoor cat when we're around. But
run, Chipper, run!
When we figured my dad was there for the first time getting to know it, I mean, he's a total stranger. And it's like Chipper got loose and then was gone. And I got this, you know, anxious call. Actually, like, he's gone. He's out all night. What was funny is we came home and we had on our answering machine, someone had found him. And so someone, you know, a couple blocks that way had found our cat, and, you know, they're trying to call us, like, you know, we want to help you out, and here's your cat. And in the background, you can hear this, wow, wow. I mean, it is absolutely hilarious. He's screaming like bloody murder, our little cat, like, You're not my owner. What are you doing? And it's so funny because it's like when we're home, he's hanging out there. When we're not there, I don't know if he goes out searching for us.
He's starting that incredible journey thing.
He's going to find his way to Shaver Lake. Yeah, Brad Wayne's an incredible adventure. Woo! There's Chipper.
No, it's Chipper and Brad. Yeah. Not my adventure.
We listened to the message several times just because it was funny, because it's like we could just picture our cat. He's looking at these people going like, you may have the best of intentions for me, but you're strangers. I don't know you. I don't want you. Let go of me.
I'm out of here.
And yet for us who are his family, the minute we're there, it's like there's a sense of peace and calm, because the reality is he does know us. He will follow our voice. When we call for him, there is this little bell on his neck you can hear. It's like he starts to come. And I think there's just a simple reality that inside each one of us, there is a reality that hungers to know the living God. I think that's that eternal space inside us that only God can fill. And when it comes to his voice, I don't want to make this some complex science. I sort of feel like, you know, if someone asked me a question, what does God's voice sound like? Well, it's not Charlton Heston.
Deep bass
like,
with an echo, is it?
You know. So oftentimes, the best way I've ever able to describe it is, you know, in one reality, God speaks in a myriad of ways, and very rarely is it, quote, audible and external to me. It's more like there's a clear thought in my head, but the reality is it is a voice I know. I would almost say it's very close to my voice, but I've learned to recognize the difference between when it's my thought versus when there's that just pregnant thought of God that has weight and authority on it. You're just going like, okay, I'm not smart enough to come up with that. There's a sense that his voice is something I know. It doesn't have that sense of being strange and distant. It's like, hey, wait a minute, you've always been here in my life. And there's a sense of familiarity of just going like, oh, and there's a clarity and there's a ring of reality to it that you just when you come to a place of being able to discern, you're just going, you know what? That's right. That's true. And it sort of settles in there. And so
has it always been that easy for you, or is it?
Oh, yeah,
I say, is it always that easy? I mean, the first time you have a thought, you go, that's God's verse. No, that's Brad's.
No, I see. I think there's different levels of God's voice in terms of the measure of revelation and the clarity that he gives to us. In the Old Testament, when God kind of rebukes Miriam and Aaron for kind of complaining about Moses, says, hey, to some I speak in riddles and dark sayings. To others I speak, you know, more clearly. But to Moses, I speak face to face. And I look in that and I see a whole spectrum. There's a myriad of ways that God communicates. Some are clear. Some are more direct. Some are not. Some are like riddles that to be puzzled out. You're just going like, wait a minute. I'm not sure that I know yet that really is from God. It might be. But that's the whole measure of needing to kind of be familiar with the Word of God,
the
Bible, the Scriptures, so that I can begin to discern, is this in harmony with that? You know, because I don't think God's going to speak in contradiction to himself.
Well, that's the big controversy, isn't it? I mean, there's one arm of Christianity that says, God doesn't speak today. Put all in Scriptures. It's all there. We don't need him today, which I don't think most of our listeners are necessarily going to fall into that camp. There's the other side of it. I think the charismatics have so trivialized God's voice that people are out there doing all kinds of stupid, crazy things.
And blaming it on
him. And saying, God told me to do this, God told me to do that. And anybody around them kind of rolls their eyes and says, yeah, I'm pretty clear God wouldn't tell him to do that. We're talking about, I think, something different than those two kinds of things. But I do think it's put a focus for people to when they say, well, listening to God's voice, is it kind of hang out in quiet places, straining against the wind or the heater blowing in the background or something to hear a voice. And I honestly think that trips a lot of people up because people think it happens like that. And I'm not even willing to sit here on this podcast and say that the way he speaks to you is the same way he speaks to me, because I doubt that that's true.
Yeah.
And I doubt it's true that anybody listening to us can say, oh, he's going to speak to me exactly like he speaks to Wayne or Brad. But I think what we want to underscore is the whole nature of this new covenant, and I like you go back to Moses saying there was a unique face-to-face thing that God had with Moses. Then there was the day they were anointing a new group of elders to kind of help Moses carry this load and make some lower case decisions, and Moses would become the Supreme Court. Only the things that the elders couldn't handle would get to him. And some guys start prophesying in town that weren't part of that eldering group they were praying for. And so they come and say, yeah, you got to make them stop, Moses. And Moses said, why? I wish all God's people could prophesy, which I think is such a great statement. It shows Moses' heart. So many leaders that we have today would just say, I prefer God talk to me and me alone, and I will tell the rest of you what to do. And here's Moses, who really has that going on. But his heart is saying, I wish all God's people would prophesy. Joel's prophecy, latter part of the Old Testament, is the day is coming. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will see visions and dreams. The prophecy of Joel is that day is coming. I mean, part and parcel of the New Testament and the New Covenant is not now we've got a new set of rules. Now the New Testament principles instead of laws. But we have a Holy Spirit who's guide, comforter, counselor. He's the one with us to make clear God's things, God's voice, God's thoughts in our lives. People who miss that, I think, miss out on the biggest thing this God journey is about, which is why we wanted to focus on it today. Because if we're not learning how to recognize when God speaks to me. And I think that really is the challenge. Most people want to wrestle with the question whether God speaks to me or not. And I don't even know that that even needs to be asked. God does speak to all of us. Many people have heard God speak to them even while they were unbelievers. They heard thoughts and things that drew them Godward, that drew them to things that were right and true and holy. So I think God really, literally makes himself known to all of us, but it's us learning. I want to learn to recognize that. I want to get a sense of when God is speaking to me. And more important maybe than even that is a sense that God and I are caught up in this eternal conversation that goes on throughout the day and throughout the week and throughout the years of our lives, that we're in this ongoing conversation with God. But when I say that to people, some people think, so then you just say, well, God, what about this? And God said, well, wait, I want you to do that. And they have a misunderstanding what that conversation means. Because to me, it's not a conversation that is that immediate. Wayne says this, God says, sometimes you can talk about it that way. I prayed this, God seemed to say that. But mostly, I think God's thoughts and God's words spoken to us become clear over time. This brother, one of the brothers we sat on that seaside beside Auckland, New Zealand, I think said it. When he said this, I'm going, that's exactly how I feel it. He said, isn't God speaking to us our growing conviction over time? Whether that's a few days, whether that's a few weeks, whether that's even a few minutes. But there's a thought in my head, and then I can't shake that thought. And even if it's just as simple as call so-and-so and encourage him today or check this out. Sometimes it's very simple things like that, but it's just this growing conviction. I need to do this. And you follow through on it, and you find out, not all of them do you follow through on and say, oh, it was exactly God. Some of these guys, maybe that wasn't. But a lot of times you go and do, and then you end up finding something that you wouldn't have found if you hadn't followed that voice, that inclination.
There's a complete impossibility to have a relationship unless there's some form of communication that is two-way. Otherwise, you know, if the Bible is simply a note that God has written and he's left and he's done speaking in any sort of meaningful way in our life, it isn't any different than just tacking that note on the door. Are you going to have a relationship with that note? No.
Pretty tough, isn't it?
You can't. And so if this Christian life is about a living relationship, what's unique about the God of the Bible that's unlike all the other religions out there, this one actually speaks. I mean, the whole sort of joke of the Old Testament that some of the prophets made is their ridicule of other things was the fact that their gods couldn't speak.
They have mouths but can't talk and eyes and can't see.
And so we do have a God that does speak. And you know, you can't just, if you, a simple read through the scriptures will leave you with that impression. I believe you have to sort of be taught to have a conviction otherwise.
I think that's true.
I really, because there's a lot of folks that I've led that have had no context of a prior connection to, quote, the church or supposed doctrines. And the reality is as God enters into their life, there's an immediate context of course, they're relating to a person. That's who saved them. It wasn't an idea.
Yeah.
And so there's communication that happens there. They didn't have to settle down in certain aspects of the body of Christ that you know, are, you know, for whatever reason, they don't believe that anymore. And sort of they teach that dynamic where it's like, no, God doesn't do that anymore. But the reality is he did, he does, and he will continue to do so. I don't believe he's writing more scripture. I don't believe he's doing anything that is meant to be scary. I think the reality is you and I are having to discern, did God say something to us? If we're trying to make a decision, sometimes that does come clear. Sometimes there's almost an instantaneous, like there's a sense of, yeah, I heard him. And there was like a clear sense of that. Others, it is that growing conviction. But I think in anything that we act upon, what your friend in New Zealand said was absolutely right. At the end of the day, the only words that I can really do anything with are those that have that abiding sense, that growing conviction that this is in fact God's direction for me.
The people who are a Bible addicts, who feel like, boy, you're talking about God speaking today and somehow it diminishes the value of Scripture or the note on the door, as you put it. No one involved in a relationship finds a note from the person who you're involved with or care about as being somehow diminished by their real presence.
Oh, not at all.
I mean, Sarah leaves me a note, you know, somewhere, or sticks a note in my suitcase when I'm going, or a card, and I open it up later. That note, that writing from that person enlivens the whole relationship. So I don't think it's a choice between one or another. It's not. I think the scriptures are key to us because when we're talking about engaging a conversation with the Almighty, we are talking about someone who is wholly other. We're not talking about someone who's just like Brad and I, but invisible. And, you know, we're talking about God who made the heavens and the earth. So us learning to zero in on that frequency and become confident in listening to him and thinking the way he thinks, which I'm taking now. I tell people, I notice when I'm arguing with myself, I'm probably arguing with something God's put in my thought process, because I generally don't argue with me. I like most of what I think. But when I hear something and I find myself wrestling with this, I can't be, because I'm thinking, no, why am I arguing with myself? And that's one of the things I quite honestly use now to say, okay, I better take a look at this. Is this what something God's putting on my heart? And then, yes, I can go to the scriptures and say, yep, seems consistent with what he's revealed here. Obviously wouldn't do anything. Someone wrote me not long ago and they were trying to kind of get me to sign on to this wonderful idea they had. They've been kind of a bit of struggle in their marriage, met another couple that was really struggling in their marriage, and now felt like God was actually asking them to divorce their spouses and marry the spouse of this other couple. And,
oh, okay.
And they were convinced, because I was an out-of-the-box thinker, that I'd be really on this page going, man, yeah, this is... And we had a little bit of an email exchange over, because I said, I got to tell you, I think somewhere you've got to say, yeah, there's a lot of people claim to hear God and claim to be led by him, but when things absolutely fly in the face of what God's revealed about himself and the way he wants us to live, you can pretty safely say, yeah, I'm not going down that road. So scripture has become a great tool for that. Other brothers and sisters become a great tool in that process to say, here's what I'm thinking or hearing. What are you hearing and thinking? Does it sound right to you? Those kinds of conversations are great for us to kind of help learn to hear and zero in on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that underscores the invaluableness of God's written word, the scriptures.
Absolutely.
Because that's sort of like the tuning fork for, you know, tuning the rest of the piano. It's like if God speaks in a number of different ways, what is wonderful is that we do have recorded for us his voice that has been the accepted, tested, and agreed upon voice down through history of the church over the ages.
Yep.
And this is something that, and in the canonization of scripture, not everyone's always agreed about all different dimensions of the scripture. I mean, you look at that and you just go like, okay, but guess what? This book has a unity to it, and it does have a clarity that through all of its different authors, there is a dialogue with the same God, the same voice that is consistent, coherent, and it brings forth a revelation of a person. My failure to delve into the written word of God is going to leave me unable to sort of discern of the myriad of voices out there. Because it's not just God's voice that speaks to us.
Absolutely.
Okay, you got God's voice, you got my own voice, you got the voice of others and their expectations.
Yep. Sometimes you got guilt voices or tapes from parents and other people that have put certain kinds of things into our head.
And then you add into the whole mix that God isn't the only supernatural voice that talks. I mean, we do have an enemy. And it seems like the folks that hold so crystal clear to the written word of God, what they're so afraid of is that the devil is going to deceive you. And it's like, well, why would we allow Satan to have an ability that we no longer afford to God? Satan can be actively talking to us.
Yeah.
And I heard someone say, look, I am more confident in God's ability to lead me than I am in the devil's ability to deceive me. And I don't know. I found when I first heard that, that put such a rest in my heart that just says, you know what? This whole dynamic, if it was just a skill that's up to me, it's like, ooh, that could be scary. But if this is a relationship where my trust and dependence is really upon him, God knows that I may be but a little child walking through traffic. And is he going to let go of my hand? Is he going to put me in harm's way if the genuine tenor of my heart is, God, I want to learn to hear your voice, to follow you, I want to be one of your sheep. I'm tired of all the voice of the strangers. I think God's going to enter into that process and make that way more progressively clear.
Absolutely. He wants that more than we do ourselves. And I think you're right. I don't want to leave the impression that the best way to check out whether you've got something God's put on your heart or not is to go find a scripture that can validate it, because that really isn't what I'm talking about. I think you can sometimes find scriptures that would say, okay, God's not asking you to do this, because he's very clear about that. But I like what you've said about just by knowing the scriptures, by having them be a consistent part of my reading and my life. If I'm reading in that and then I hear something that's consistent with the God I've known through the scriptures, that's what's helpful to people. It's having such a familiarity with God as a person by the book. And yet we've been taught over the years that this is a scary book and you can't understand it. And we're so busy studying it with all our Greek tools and all that stuff, we forget to get to know the person that's behind this book. And that's what makes, I think, clear for us to grow and discern his voice.
Well, that's the rebuke that Jesus gave to the Pharisees in John, I believe, chapter 4 or 5. He says, you know, you search the scriptures, for in them you think that you're going to find life, but yet you refuse to come to me. And I looked at that verse and I went, my gosh, the purpose of the scriptures is meant to be a stepping stone to fellowship with God, not a substitute for it. It may be the means by which, because I mean, I love reading in the Bible, and I would describe it as, you know, there's different parts of the Bible that, you know, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, I would use this phrase, breathes on. And it's as if, wait a minute, I never saw that before. And there is a point of revelation, of timing, of its impact upon my life right then. It's like, this is all of a sudden profoundly relevant, and I've known it, but now it's afresh. And I sort of feel like, you know, that's the joy of this book. It's living, because its author sits with me as I read it, and will bring things to life that are very important for my life. And so it's like, do I value the scriptures? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But if someone were to steal my Bible and it's gone, am I left without a relationship? And it would be tragic if the answer was yes.
Yeah, I had someone ask me the other day, if you were stranded on a desert island, would you rather have the Bible or the Holy Spirit? Well, you know, if it came down to those two, I got to tell you, I think I would enjoy the relationship more than the book.
Yeah.
And that's true of most any author. I read books that I love and enjoy, but if I had a choice between spending a day with that book or getting a chance to spend a day with the author, I might choose the author.
Absolutely.
Fortunately, we're not choosing one or the other.
Yeah.
But I do think one of the things that we can most encourage in our relationship with other brothers and sisters is not to supplant that voice in each other, but help each other learn to recognize. I shared this story before. I'm not sure I've done it on the podcast, but when I was in Australia 10, 12 years ago, one of the things I noticed about this community is the way they shared their life together. If someone gave a prophecy, had a prayer request, had something they thought God put on their heart, they would just stop and talk about it as a community. Say, that sound right to you? Do other people feel like God's saying that to us? Is that? And I was always surprised, because it seemed to me it always broke up the flow of the meeting as I learned to conduct such things, to just stop and say, does that sound right? And most of the time people would say, oh, man, you know, I had something similar in my heart, and they would describe something else, or you know, the scripture was on their heart that went with what somebody had shared. That just fed into that life of the community together. But a couple of times they would say, no, I've got to tell you, it's not on my heart. And other people would say, yeah, it's not on my heart either. And I watched one young man who was part of three meetings when I first got there. And he'd offered three different things over a period of 24 hours. And all three of them were unconfirmable or unconfirmed by the rest of the group. They'd say, no, don't feel like that. No. I'm feeling bad for this guy. I'm thinking, man, he's probably just
struck
been
out.
Yeah, you're gone, dude. Can't come back. So I noticed he was alone for lunch. So I went out and sat next to him. And we got talking for a bit. And some other people joined us. It was a cafeteria kind of lunch. And as people kind of vanished, he and I were sitting there. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, it's kind of personal. If you don't want to answer it, it's fine. And he said, no, go ahead. I said, I've noticed you last night, this morning, you shared some things, and people didn't quite affirm where you were at with that. And I said, I just want to make sure you're okay. I'll never forget what he said. He looked at me and said, am I okay? He said, Wayne, I've known God for less than a year. He said, if I can't learn to listen to God's voice around my brothers and sisters, if they're not going to be honest enough with me to tell me, yeah, that's it, that may not be it, how else am I ever going to learn? And I just, boy, I took a deep breath of air and said, wouldn't we have all to grow up in that kind of environment where we're all learning? We don't have our whole ego, spiritual life. Nothing's hanging on the line with whether I've got it right or not, but I'm growing. In fact, I often say at times the people that seem most sure of what God's saying usually have the least idea of what he's really saying. I think there is a sense of humility, and I think I see this. Let me walk it out and see. When God speaks, there's not this arrogant, I've heard from God, and the rest of you can all, you know, rot in a hot place somewhere.
Yeah, I think there is a whole corporate dynamic of confirmation that, you know, when God has said something, God isn't speaking to us typically in isolation because we don't live our lives in isolation. What God says to me, if it leads me to action and he calls me, it's going to affect others. So the reality is the confirmation of that is also going to resonate in others. And it may not resonate universally, right, because I don't think God is necessarily saying every last little thing to every last little person. But on the whole, we're not meant to be in isolation. We're meant to be in a community of context that's growing, learning, living, actively following. And it's meant to have a dialogue with the guy we're all following, which is Jesus.
Yep.
So as he speaks to us, I think one of the most helpful things is to just, you know, there's times I've asked, I think I mentioned that, you know, in the whole Accept No Substitutes podcast, there's times that I would ask you questions and you'd end up kind of refusing to answer. You say, oh, Brad, that's a really good question. At first it irritated me, but then I recognized you didn't supplant the place of the Holy Spirit in my life on some of the really important issues that you knew I needed to struggle through and come up with my own answer, not Wayne's answer.
Or you assumed I had an answer.
Or I assumed you had an answer. The reality is I think that, you know, I can hear God's voice sometimes in the voice of others. And there's a resonance of going like, look, that's what they said, and that's really valuable. But in what they said, there was something very personal and direct and important for me that I really felt like that was the voice of my shepherd. That was Jesus speaking through a brother and sister who may be aware of it or may not at all.
Absolutely.
And yet it doesn't change the fact that it is God's voice for me because it's bringing life and direction. And there's that weight of reality that as I walk it out, you know, one of the things that God first said to Moses is, hey, I want you to go get those people and bring them back to the mountain here for me. And he says, well, how will I know? Well, when you've gone and done it. Well, that's not real help. It's like, well, I'd like some confirmation now. I do think that that's the reality of the walked out life is, you know what? We're only going to know some of these things as we truly walk them out. I don't get a guarantee up front that I won't be wrong.
Absolutely not. Or why would you want one? Because we're all growing to learn this. So if you're willing to accept the consequences of being wrong, and I think an important part of hearing God's voice and learning to listen is God's not going to tell me something you need to do. God's going to speak to me about things.
Wait. I went to that church.
Yeah, we all did. Where, you know, my word from the Lord is for you to go do such and such that, interestingly enough, just happens to benefit me too. No, God puts things on our heart for us to do, for us to be involved in, for us to know. And when we stop trying to put that on other folks, I think is a great freedom to learn how to live this life the way he's called us to live it.
If we were to underscore one of the, you know, most important things I think we're trying to communicate through this podcast is the reality that, you know what, there is no substitute for enjoying and experiencing a true life with God apart from communication with him.
And the joy of that is to be, like, as we talk about this word, ongoing conversation. It's I'm just aware all day long of, like you said, God might speak to us out of somebody that may not even know who he is, but says something. I know some profound things have been spoken in my life by somebody in the world that made some comment to me. And when they said, I'm going, whoa, I recognize a voice in that. Sometimes it's through something in nature. I on my blog this week is a walk I had with Sheba. I got to get Sheba some equal time in here. Sarah says, because Sheba's our black lab and not doing real well with her hip dysplasia. So I'm not sure how long we're going to get that little pup, but God taught me something, just the way she was acting while we were doing it. It was very clear that, boy, I've acted that way too towards God. And it was very frustrating the way Sheba was doing it. I'm going, oh God, I hope I don't frustrate you like that. The sense is, I think God's patient even with our impatience. But through nature, through books that we're reading, through the newspaper, through the news, through just things that go on in our life, the arts, there's ways that God makes himself known to us. And the ongoing conversation is just to be aware of that and listen and grow to recognize. And if Brad and I, by talking about it, have just indicated to y'all out there that this is an easy thing, everybody should be doing it, we want to say, yeah, everybody can do this.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing. Learning to listen, be sensitive to, that's a growing edge in all of our lives, but it's one worth talking to him about, and it's one worth encouraging each other about. How do we listen? How do we grow more confident? How do we learn to follow the shepherd that leads us by his voice?
I want to modify that just a little bit.
Right.
I would almost say that, you know, to be able to hear God's voice, I think that is easy. Having the confidence in that, that's the hard part. I think the equipment is in all of us. And I think God turns that switch on. He says, to him who has ears to hear, let him hear. So I would want to say, I don't think it's a huge issue to try to hear. I sort of feel what's the challenge is learning to have a confidence that I am hearing, and you can't do that by yourself. That's the value of the corporate body and acting upon the things that you think you hear. And if you're so afraid of being wrong, you won't act upon anything. It's kind of like a batter in baseball. A lot of pitches thrown, he'll never swing because he never wants to strike out. Oh, guess what? Life will pass you by, and the very life that God wants us to have, if I don't engage with it, I'm not going to walk it out.
I understand what you're saying. I don't want the person out there that feels like, man, I have prayed and I'm listening, I don't hear anything, so obviously God has not flipped the switch on for me. I don't want them at that point of conclusion. What I'd love them to do is say, maybe that voice is buried under guilt, under all kinds of other voices that have just pushed you down and robbed your confidence to live this life in God. But don't think he's quiet with any of us. Don't think he's hasn't flipped the switch on for you if you're looking to listen to him. Ask him to show you, teach you, get some brothers and sisters alongside you that can say, hey, I want to learn how to listen to God through the course of my day and grow in the things he wants me to learn and do the things he's asking me to do. And by that, be his followers in the world. So this is a bit of a process, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is, I think, something that would be perfect for our bulletin board that has just gone up. Is, you know, if you have any questions on the whole subject of, well, you know, what about this? That would be the perfect kind of dialogue. We would love to help stimulate and have a community conversation around this whole topic. And with the new bulletin board,
absolutely,
man, is that ever easy.
Great place to do it. And not just questions, just what have you learned in this? What can you encourage others who are learning to listen?
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your questions or feedback by email or at our blog at thegodjourney.com. Or you can call 24 hours a day to our comment line at 805-626-4212.